You are listening to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits with me, Louise Cantillon, and the lovely Shane Dowling. Shane, we knew that Championship 2020 was going to be a different ball game, hence the reason we named the show just that. But it's proved to be that and everything more. Historic, magical, emotional.
That's crazy, Louise. And I suppose, obviously, hurling is my first love, and that goes without saying. But I think, to be honest, the weekend has just gone by. I think we'll do well to beat what's gone on there. It was just incredible. Like, the four teams that were there 100 years ago. And, like, when Tipperary won, I said, geez, three of the teams are there. And, like I said, it's a pity that, you know, Cavan won't beat Donegal. And lo and behold, just look what happened. Just the most amazing thing. And, as I said, hurling man through and through. But I don't think the hurling will top the weekend gone by.
Yeah, so well said. I mean, emotional is the word that springs to mind for me. I'm emotional anyway, but I was in tears looking at, you know, the Tipperary homecoming. We've seen people line the streets over the last few months for funerals, Guard of Honour, all of this horrible stuff that's going on in the world. But we saw people lining out in Ballyporeen, clapping their footballers through the village. It was just unbelievable. And I think that, you know, it is just what Championship 2020 is. It's that magic of GAA. It's bringing communities together when they need it the most.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's outside of a funeral, there's very few things that bring grown adults to tears. And, like, I think the GAA is one of the very, very few things that does that. And you hit the nail on the head there. I think I was nearly shedding a tear at home in my own house, as were many people across the country, just to see the scenes that Tipperary had, the interview that David Power did after the match. And indeed, when you go up to Cavan then, and the Cavan manager Mickey Graham had to actually walk away. He couldn't finish the interview. Like, just absolutely incredible. And you know, we wouldn't have got this if it was like every other year, but no, it's not like every other year, and that's why we're seeing these scenes.
That feel good factor is something we all long for and we need now in our lives more than ever. So here to give us his opinion is a GAA icon, a man who knows so much about GAA and has been in this ball game long before Shane and I can ever remember some of these matches. So I am so delighted and honoured that he took the time out of his evening to chat to us on the show. Michael Lester, thank you so much for joining A Different Ball Game.
Hello, guys. How are you doing? And can I tell you this for a fact straight away? It's not that I know so much about GAA. It's just I was fortunate enough to sit with guys who did know so much about it. So that was a great thing.
Michael, you've seen and, like, witnessed and been at the heart of so many iconic games and All-Irelands and finals and replays. Can I just ask, is it a little bittersweet seeing a year like this unfold and not being in the hot seat?
You know, funny you should ask me about that side of things, because after the Sunday game at the weekend, I texted Joanne Cantwell and I said to Joanne, for the first time since I stepped down out of the Sunday game, I was actually jealous because the two games were just so dramatic and so good, and the results so unexpected, as you guys were saying there a moment ago, you know. Now, look, I've been very fortunate over my 35 years doing the programme to have seen a lot of dramatic results. The last weekend, it was definitely up there with them.
It was historic, Michael, and I think, you know, there were scenes, as we mentioned, of, like, pure elation in counties that haven't felt like that in so long. Did it compare to anything, I suppose, a highlight during your career?
Difficult to draw exact comparisons with anything like that, you know. And there have been some great things that have happened, obviously, down through the years in the GAA, and dramatic results and counties rising, let's say. My own county, Galway, obviously, in the late 70s, early 80s, through the 80s, in actual fact, and then Offaly doing something similar through that period of time as well. Things like that were just incredible, you know. But definitely what happened at the weekend was so unexpected, because I sat down to watch the matches, and for sure, I never saw Cavan winning the Ulster title against the Donegal team that people were tipping to be possible All-Ireland champions, you know. So it was unbelievable. And then, like, tipping it, I mean, Cork having put up such a brilliant display against Kerry in the semi-final, you thought they're going to push on now and they're going to be contenders, and then to get turned over. But I think what's happened, or what is happening with all of this, is because of the nature of the championship being knockout and being played really as a winter sport as through the summer, it's brought a different dynamic to it, and it's kind of leveled the playing pitch that hasn't been too level over the last 10, 15 years or whatever, with the backdoor system or the qualifiers. In other years, Kerry would be back. That would have been a setback, but Kerry would be back, and you could be pretty sure that Kerry would be up there in Croke Park for the knockout and defining matches of it. But that's not the way it is this year.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Michael, to be honest, because I think a big discussion when this year does eventually come to a close is whether teams should continue with the way it is now in terms of the back door, like, and just the incredible results that have been there. I suppose, listen, from my own end, Michael, may I just say, well, I had this opportunity for someone who was very fortunate enough to had a career with Limerick. Like, you know, obviously myself and my family would have all was growing up watching the Sunday game for years and years and years, and you were just a joy to listen to, and a credit, I suppose, to yourself and your family for how you conducted yourself and the show over many years. And you're certainly missed. And I know Joanne is there now, and she's doing a great job. But you're definitely an icon of the Dowling household, may I say.
Through my time on the Sunday game, and actually I was covering Gaelic games before that. I actually covered All Ireland finals on radio before I got on the Sunday game and all that kind of thing. And looking back on it, to get paid to do something that you would have gone to a lot of these matches anyway, kind of, you know. Jeepers, I mean, where would you get it?
Yeah, well, don't make it sound as easy as that. You had a difficult job to do as well, and I'm sure you earned a few quid that you got. Listen, Michael, obviously we're going into the semi-final stages now of the hurling this weekend, and obviously, you know, the football stages are at the same. So how do you see it going from here?
Well, just because of what we were talking about there a minute ago, because of the nature of things this year, it would be a brave man to boldly call either of these two semi-finals that are coming up. I mean, it really would, because anything could happen. You know, I mean, the thing about it is, we'd say with Galway and Kilkenny in the Leinster final, Galway probably should have beaten Kilkenny on the day. Now, I know they didn't, and they can't blame anybody else on themselves, but then they come back and they put that right and they beat the All-Ireland champions. And, you know, so it's all that kind of stuff. It's just topsy-turvy kind of thing. I would just say to you, and I'm not saying because I'm talking to you, for me, Limerick have been the best team in the championship this year, and most consistent through the matches that they've played. And although I think Galway have done well to recoup themselves and to be there in that scenario, I think Limerick are just a bit ahead of them. Not maybe by a lot, but enough to kind of get them through. Galway are a bit inconsistent. Nothing new about that, says you, down through the years. And if Galway hit their form, if they hit a day, like, they can be unbeatable. But that's the big question about it. And obviously the other semi-final then on Saturday, Waterford and Kilkenny, neighbours, they could puck a ball across the shore to each other, you know. That's a whole different dynamic. Waterford are going well. I think Liam Cahill has done a very good job with this Waterford team. And in the matches they've played this year, I've seen them improve in the games. And I've seen them improve from the point of view of learning lessons from what they maybe did wrong previously, and correcting that and putting themselves in a better place. So they're up there. They're there with a great shout in this one. And if you said to me, here's a tenner, go into the bookies and put it on either Kilkenny or Waterford, I'd put it on Waterford.
I would too, if I'm being honest. Just in relation to Galway, Michael, are you looking after my own clubman down there?
Galway have fantastic hurlers. Everybody knows that, you know. And he's done a fantastic job since he's come in there and taken in a difficult year, obviously, and all the rest of it, kind of, you know. They should have closed out that game against Kilkenny. And as I said afterwards to people, if Kilkenny had been 5 points up midway through the second half of that match, they would have won the bloody thing by 15 points, you know. And Galway then managed to contrive to spoil the whole thing by conceding two goals in 2 minutes or something like that. But look, I mean, that's water under the bridge. They still have a team that's good enough, but it's just a matter of on the day. Even the last day against Tip, although they were better than Tip on the day and they played extremely well, there were a couple of times during the match they went in through a lull period of maybe 5 minutes here and there where they were getting turned over and things weren't going the way they should, you know. I grant them the fact they're playing the All-Ireland champions, so that's okay, you know, to a point. No, it will because of the Limerick factor on both sides, obviously. In that particular match, it'll make it interesting.
Brilliant. Michael, we could listen to you all day. You certainly haven't lost it anyway. You can talk so flawlessly, I think. All things GAA. And I know, just so quickly before we let you go, we've mentioned the hurling and we've mentioned the fact it's an iconic year, but we still haven't mentioned something that's been in the media an awful lot this week. People saying that the Dublin footballers, are licking their lips saying we've this won already. Do you reckon that it's a straight cut victory for Dublin, looking at the fixtures as they are now?
It's very hard to see beyond Dublin, to tell you the truth. The thing about it is, what they've done over the last number of years, has been so exceptional. And it wasn't just going to end suddenly just because Jim Gavin stepped down or anything like that. The template is still there. That's quite obvious in the way they're going. Most people would have expected them to have beaten Meath last weekend. Nobody would have seen Meath getting the kind of trouncing that they got. They were just simply overwhelmed in the match, you know. And that's the setup. Dublin are going through just that period for the last 5-6 years that Kilkenny hurlers were going through back about 10 years ago or whatever, where they were unbeatable, you know. And that'll be the case. And it's, I think it'll remain that way in 2020. And we might have to wait for next year or the year after to see that just begin to maybe gradually step down. But this year, from what's left, you'd have to put your money on Dublin.
I think a lot of listeners are going to be delighted to hear that, Michael. And as a Galway man, we appreciate you taking the time out, especially this week, chatting to two people from Limerick. So hopefully the weekend is a bit of crack anyway, and we get the right results. We're going to be cheering for Limerick, Michael. I'm sure you're going to have your Galway jersey on.
Well, I'll tell you what, no matter what happens, it will be crack.
It will be crack. And look, more than anything, it'll be the magic that we need in our lives right now. So, Michael, to you and your family, I hope you're well and safe. And thank you so much for joining us on A Different Ball Game.
Thanks, Michael.
Now, Shane, it's time to get stuck into what's going to be a massive weekend of hurling. Look, we saw a massive weekend of football last week. I know you don't think that this will rival it, but I really think it's going to be tantalising. Can I use the Buff Egan's word?
I want you to do the finger with it.
The little OK sign. It is, though. It's going to be brilliant. And you and I are both looking forward to this. So we're going to start with a game that's close to both our hearts. Galway v Limerick, the All-Ireland semi-final. I've heard people say that this is the All-Ireland. Do you hate that kind of hype?
Yeah, well, that's stupid talk, to be honest. It's not even hype. It's just stupid talk. Because, I mean, you've got a mountain of a clash on Saturday night with Waterford and Kilkenny. And we'll get to that shortly. So, I mean, this game is this game is going to be a game on its own. And they're not going to be worrying about anything else.
Yeah. Look, Shane, it's a repeat of the 2018 All-Ireland. What are the points that you think both teams are going to look at trying to exploit? Like, what do you think the Limerick or Galway players will be thinking ahead of this weekend?
Yeah, I don't think the 2018 game will have any relevance to it, to be honest. I think it's 2 years on, a lot of things have changed. Obviously, the Galway management team has changed and they bring in their own systems and everything else. So I suppose in terms of the game itself then, when I look at Galway and Tipperary last weekend, I was a small bit, I wasn't disappointed. I just thought Tipperary got their scores quite easy, and I also thought Galway got a lot of their scores quite easy, and that the pressure wasn't applied to them that I think the Limerick team are going to apply to Galway this weekend. I mean, when you see a lot of the Galway half forwards getting the ball this weekend, I'd imagine that they're going to get nailed from front, side and behind. Like, you know, that's how Limerick play the game, and I don't think that they I don't think they've met that intensity this year for large periods. Against Kilkenny they met it a bit, but I think now that Galway are going to face an intensity that I don't think they've met all year, and it will be a case of whether they can match that or not.
You've said they're going to face this intensity, but they also have the little gem that is Shane O'Neill. You know, he's your club man, and he knows those Limerick and the Pearshick players better than a lot of other managers do. So is that a mega advantage to Galway, having a Limerick manager who knows the current Limerick hurling team quite well?
Yeah, I'd say it's a slight advantage, if anything, Louise. He'd know the boys inside out, obviously. And to be honest, if I'm being totally honest, I must have got, I don't know how many people have been onto me this week in relation to Shane O'Neill. I'd been better off saying he was a whatever at the start of the week, so people would have stopped denying me. So anyway, listen, Shane knows a lot of people inside out, inside in their camp, but it'll small gains. But I put it to you this way, that's not going to be the difference in the winning and losing of the match.
What's going to be the difference?
I think I said it. I think whether Galway can match the intensity that, you go back to 2018 All-Ireland final, early on, Jamie Flanagan, he nailed Gerard McInerney and upended him. That set down the tone very early. Tom Morrissey dispossessed, as it happened, Gerard McInerney again, and ended up getting a goal. And then Peter Casey blocked the ball down from Adrian Toohey, and we ended up getting a goal out of that. So, you know, all them turnovers, all them scores came from turnovers. And I think if Limerick can match that again this weekend, I think that'll be enough.
Look, it's going to be a game that everything is to play for. I reckon that the winners of this game will stand a very strong chance in the All-Ireland. So call it for me, Shane.
Well, they'll definitely have a 50-50 chance anyway. yeah, listen, I think, I again, not saying it just because of where I'm from or anything like that, but I just, on all known evidence this year, I do think Limerick will win. It's not going to be easy, but I think hopefully we can look forward to Christmas All-Ireland, Louise.
Right, we're going to keep the foot down, Shane. We're going to keep moving on. The other side of that semi-final is Kilkenny v Waterford. It's going to be another epic clash.
It is, Louise. It's going to be an epic clash. I, for one, certainly can't wait for this game. Obviously, I'll have invested interest in the other, but this game I'm looking forward to sitting back and enjoy. And we are very fortunate to speak to current Offaly manager, previous Kilkenny All-Star and full-time Kilkenny legend, Michael Fennelly.
Kilkenny and Waterford will be an enthralling encounter the weekend, as history has shown us that, especially over the last 5 years. There's been nothing between these two teams, and I expect nothing different the weekend. Key players in the Waterford team, the likes of Ty DeBurca, depriving his influence on the game. I think Jamie Barron in midfield, his engine is a key component and reducing his scoring capacity. Kilkenny's TJ Reid, to name one, my own club man. Obviously, Waterford will be keeping a close eye on him in terms of his influential play in games. Richie Hogan, whether he'll start or whether he'll come on. And obviously, the likes of Killian Buckley and hopefully the return of Paddy Deegan at centre-back will be a big part of Kilkenny's game. It should be a very exciting game, and hopefully it'll be a fast flowing game with minimal freeze.
Former Kilkenny All-Star Michael Fenley there shedding some light on what's going to be a fantastic game. He mentioned key players Shane straight out, TJ, Richie Hogan, we've seen them in action. Like, they are the players that make the differences, aren't they?
They are, but I think sometimes, Louise, people focus in on these players and I'm not so sure. They do make, listen, TJ Reid is one of the greatest hurlers of all time, and Richie too far behind him, you know. But for me, I'm going to talk about Waterford here first, because I really have been so impressed with Waterford this year, and they might even be accusing me of building them up too much. But I've been really impressed with them this year. I've loved, I suppose, what Liam Cahill has done. I've loved everything, the way they've gone about their business. And I also loved one other thing, Louise. I heard John Milan speak the other day, and somebody asked him a question, and he said, John, either way, this is going to be a very successful year for Waterford, and they can build for next year. And he lost the plot, and I was delighted to hear, because I was thinking the same thing. Forget about next year, forget about all that. Why can't we do it this year? Why can't we win it this year? We have a 50-50 chance of beating Kilkenny, and if we get into the final, who knows what could happen then, you know. This could be your year, and I'd want to hear any more of that talk, and I'd love to think that the Waterford players are thinking the same. Forget about next year, no one knows what's going to happen. For me, they're flying this year and they need to make a count, and I think they will.
Right, I know you were in Cork last week, you saw the game, and evidently you're very impressed, okay? But can I ask you, right, just bring it back to their game against Clare. They conceded 3 goals there. Now, like, that has to be a point of weakness. We saw, you know, the capability Richie Hogan has of coming off the bench and scoring a goal like that. Will that be an area that Waterford are going to struggle?
Louise, that is the best thing that has happened to Waterford. Because if it didn't happen to them, it could happen to them this weekend. You can be damn sure that Liam Cahill and all his background team would have been going through all that, would have been a fine-tooth comb to see why it happened. It was shocking, right? I saw it, I was there, I saw the space that was created. It was really bad, but it's the best thing that could happen to them. And I would be, you know, I'm not saying Kilkenny won't score goals this weekend. I would be shocked if you see any Kilkenny man running down the heart of the defence in that space again. You know, and we'll come back to whether Ty DeBurca will play the sweep role or not and all that, but I don't think, you're not going to see that space this weekend. Liam Cahill and his crew are going to be too wise to that.
Shane, from what you're saying, you seem to think that Waterford are on a winning streak. They seem almost flawless from the way you're talking about them there, but I don't believe that Kilkenny don't stand a fighting chance. So tell me, what are the key areas on the pitch, the key players we're watching out for in this Kilkenny panel?
Well, I think the Kilkenny will certainly believe they're going to have a chance. They're going to be favourites going into the game, like, you know, and they've obviously beaten Galway and won the Leinster Championship. So, listen, I think what I just love about Kilkenny, they're the most consistent team I've ever watched, as long as I'm watching hurling, in terms of how they play the game. It's just really, really hard work. Die for the jersey and give it everything they have. And I'm not saying that other counties don't do that. They obviously do. But Kilkenny are just incredible and they never stop. And they don't have the superstars that they had in the past. Everyone knows that. They know that themselves. But what they have is they've got such serious grafters, like, in all the way through the pitch. And I suppose the reason I just think Waterford will have the edge on them is because of how they're playing the game at such a high level. But that's not taken away, like, that, you know, Waterford then don't have the players that Kilkenny have in terms of Colin Fenley, Richie Hogan, TJ Reid, where they could pop up with a moment of magic at any stage. And if they do that, of course Kilkenny could go on and win the game. But as I said, I just think Waterford will have learned from last week to stop that. And that's why I think down the other end, the likes of Dizzy Hutchinson and Austin Gleeson and the two Bennetts could, you know, caused a lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. It is all to play for. And I guess it's that whole factor as well of, you know, the history that Kilkenny have. And they have Brian Cody at the helm there. And he's been through, you know, semi-final after semi-final, All-Ireland after All-Ireland. That surely has to be a massive backbone to have in that dressing room and behind you, to know that he has a game plan somewhere that usually works.
Yeah, well, actually, just one thing to note, Louise, is Kilkenny have changed their style this year, in my opinion, for the first time in 20 years, where before they've launched the ball every single time from their half-backs, consistently hitting it long, long, long all the time, and it wasn't working out. They got caught in 2016 and got caught last year against Tipperary. They're now working the ball through the lines, so don't underestimate the value that DJ Carey's brought to the setup as well, because they've changed their, they've changed their game style. And is it a coincidence that DJ's first year in, they've changed that? So we'll wait and see.
Right, very interesting. Look, it's going to be an epic clash tomorrow evening. It's going to be brilliant for spectators and neutrals and everyone tuning in on their television. So call it for me, Shane. Waterford versus Kilkenny. Who will come out on top?
Waterford.
Right. It all remains to be seen. We're going to keep moving on now, and it is time to talk about Manon na hÉireann and the wonderful women and everything that's happening in the female games. The Ladies Football Championship is continuing, and it's Dublin v Armagh. And we've got some audio on this, Shane. Who's chatting to us?
Yes, Louise, we are very lucky to catch up with former Dublin footballer and 2010 All-Ireland winner, Cliona O'Connor.
I think the matchups are going to be important. I think Dublin are going to be having to try and curb Amy Mackin and Caroline O'Hanlon especially. And then from an Armagh point of view, that there's a numerous players that they're going to need to deal with. Sinead O'Hearn, Carla Rowe and Niamh McAvoy would be key players. If Dublin can up their game, from what we saw in the group stages, I think it'll be Dublin's, but Armagh will have huge confidence from their performance against Mayo. So I don't think this is decided at all.
Shane, this is going to be a great game because Dublin are in search of their fourth All-Ireland in a row, their fifth overall. Do you reckon that they're going to be as hungry as the men are to win this?
Yeah, Cliona, typical Dub, downplaying the chances. You'd swear, listen to her, that they're not going to even partake at all. But listen, going for their fourth All-Ireland in a row and a fifth overall. The women are getting as bad as the men, Louise, in terms of taking all the highlight from the footballing side of it. So yeah, you'd imagine going in all known form. Like, I know Dublin might have hit the heights of previous years, but you know, teams don't have to hit the heights now until the closing stages of the championship. And I'd imagine with their experience behind them, I don't see any reason why Armagh should be able to topple them.
Armagh are going to have a tough game ahead of them, but perhaps they're your underdogs this week, Shane.
We have to wait a few minutes to find out, Louise.
We will. Right, we're going to keep it all things female now, and it's time to talk Camogie. Galway play Tip in this year's All-Ireland semi-final. It takes place in Porkeycueve this weekend, and it's going to be a cracker.
Yes, Louise, it certainly is going to be a cracker, and we were very fortunate to catch up with All-Ireland winning captain Ursula Jacob, who's a good friend of ours here on the show, and congratulations are in order as she's after getting engaged to her fiancé, Brendan Cruz. So thanks very much, Ursula, for taking time out of your busy week and giving us your thoughts on this weekend's game.
Tipperary got the upper hand on Galway at the start of this year in the league, so they're going to take confidence from that game. But for me, Galway have looked the most consistent team throughout this championship. They're undefeated. They've a really strong panel, and I expect that they'll advance to the final.
Galway are defending champions in this game. Do you reckon that they're going to go in hungrier than ever to win for a second time? Or do you see Tip trying to make up for what the men lost out on?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're from Tip and you were looking on it last weekend, I think you were definitely kind of saying, geez, I'd love to be a part of that, like, you know. And I suppose the footballers were very fortunate, so it's up to the girls this weekend now to create their own buzz within the camp, like, you know, and to keep the flag flying for the county. For the Cooney household, it's going to be a very, very busy weekend, as the boys are going to be obviously representing the Galway Senior Hurling team on Sunday in Shane and Connor, and obviously their sister Heather plays for the Galway Camogie team, so they're going to be really looking forward to this weekend. And like, even from the Tipperary side of it, I know, like, it will take Orla Dwyer, who would be a star player in both football and hurling. She's not as lucky to get home from Australia like the boys were, so yeah, listen, it's going to be very, very interesting. Again, I don't see any reason why Galway should be turned over here, and as you said and rightly said, if they're hungry enough like they were last year, I see them coming out on top.
Right, brilliant. The other side of that draw, Shane, very quickly, because I know we're short on time, is Cork v Kilkenny. That's also taking place in Porkeycueve. Straight out looking at this game, Shane, Cork have home advantage. Kilkenny are going to be travelling down, albeit not that far, but I reckon, is there something about playing in your home ground? I know you often discard that as a point.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, Louise. I think some place like Porkeycueve is such an incredible stadium now. I definitely think that would benefit them a small bit, because it's such a cool stadium, and, like, you know, the Kilkenny girls wouldn't have played there a whole pile of times, like, whereas the Cork girls would have had. The one thing I'd be interested to see, though, is the legendary Anne Downey, who was over Kilkenny Camogie team for a long number of years. So it will be very interesting to see, will the girls have the same consistency under Brian Dowling, no relation, than they did have with Anne Downey. So if I had to call it, Louise, I'd probably be lying. I don't know how to call this game. I think if the girls and the boys could win this weekend, there'd be peps in many people's steps down at Kilkenny, but all remains to be seen.
Shane, that is us pretty much out of time this week. Look, it's going to be another magic weekend. Just before your quickfire round, we're going to remind our lovely listeners at home of a competition we're doing on tonight's show, a chance for them to win a full car service, everything you need to make your car winter ready with thanks to Munster Car Parks on the Ballysimon Road in Limerick. We asked you one simple question. Loads of you have already messaged in the correct answer, so well done. I feel like we made it too easy now. Shane.
Plenty got it wrong too, Louise. You never mentioned that. So the question is, in 2011, who scored the winning kick in the All-Ireland football final for the Dubs?
If you think you know the answer, you can text us literally in the next 2 minutes for your chance to win. The number is 0871880008. You can also send us the correct answer in a DM on Twitter or Instagram. We're at Classic Hits Radio. We will announce the winner on Twitter and on Instagram at 7:10 this evening. So little under 10 minutes time. Shane, are you now ready for your quickfire round?
I was ready 5 minutes ago, Louise.
Right. Who's the player to watch, Shane, this weekend?
Last weekend, Callum Lyons was given the job to man-mark Tony Kelly and did a phenomenal job. I'd be very interested to see who he goes man-marking this weekend and what he does.
The tactic you're looking out for this weekend.
Will Waterford adapt and go back to the famous Tadhg na Bhfirce role where he goes in a sweeper, or will they continue marking six forwards?
The underdog or the potential upset this week.
Waterford for me against Kilkenny. Waterford going in as underdogs.
It all remains to be seen. It's going to be a bumper weekend of GAA. We hope that you enjoy it just as much as I know we will. Shane Dowling, we're back next week from 6:30. Chat to you then.
See you next week.